Book of James chapter 3. Look up this way. We're going to be studying something today that is, in my opinion, one of the hardest things for anybody, no matter what age you are, to bring in complete control and have a good handle on, okay? Most of you, if not all of you, don't have a problem with stealing, all right? I'm not going to find you in the newspaper because you've, you know, gone to a bank and robbed a bank, all right? Even though I always dreamed how cool it would be if I could rob a bank. Anybody ever thought it'd be cool to rob a bank? Don't do it. But I thought it would be cool, all right? It would be awesome, you know, paint a black spray and put a ski mask on, a little water gun, and walk up, stick him up, squirt him in the face or something, you know? Don't do that. All right, anyway, but you're not chronic stealers. I would hope not, okay? If you steal a penny from your parents, that's bad. But it's not like you guys are going out stealing every day. It's not like you're going out and committing murder or you're not going out and just and doing the worst sins possible. And we all know, according to Scripture, sin is sin. God sees it as sin. It doesn't have to categorize and change positions. It is what it is. But when we look at certain things in our lives, some things we say are worse than others. Some things we say, ah, that's not so bad. And one of the things that I believe that we do, that we excuse in our minds, that we say, ah, it's not so bad. One of those is our tongue. It's what we say with our mouth. It's what we choose and how we choose to use this. I can almost guarantee you're sitting in your chair and you're going, oh boy, did my mom talk to you? Or did my teacher talk to you? How do you know? Like, I really have a problem with this. And some of you are like, no, I'm an angel. I'm quiet. I have an introvert personality. Guess what? You're going to find out that even though it doesn't come out of here all the time, if it's on the inside, it's still a problem. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Let's talk about the human tongue. How many of you find the tongue just fascinating? Anybody at all? Have you, anybody done any study? Any counselors who are science majors in here? Any science majors? Just Amanda? Okay. Awesome. Only one smart counselor? Awesome. And if you study the human tongue, they're all, I just pulled like five random facts about the human tongue. One, it really hurts when you bite it, okay? That's just a fact, all right? Anybody ever, like, bitten? You ever seen someone who's bitten the majority of their tongue off? Anybody ever seen that before? It is nasty, all right? When it's just kind of dangling there like a leg, like a little tiny. All the girls are like, done with that. But the human tongue, it is just, it can be the most interesting thing and yet the most disgusting thing and the most helpful thing for us as human beings, okay? Without the tongue, a lot of things would happen to us. We would, like, have a hard time swallowing because our tongue is just not right here. Well, I'll give you a couple facts here, all right? The average tongue is about 3 inches long, and that's just what you see right here. There's another part of the muscle that goes down the throat a little bit, but that's what you see is the tongue. The tongue has between 2,000 and 4,000 taste buds on it. And they are invisible to the naked eye. You can't actually see taste buds, all right? But there are almost 4,000 of them. All right? And if you, have you ever seen those diagrams for tongues where you got the sweet, the sour, the salty, the you know, the ice cream section and the hot dog section, and you got all the sections of the tongue. Have you seen that before? You got to eat. So when I first found out about this as a kid, I was like, hey, Dad, all the ice cream go right here. That's the sweet section right there. And all the sour is on the outside, okay? So the tongue has 2 to 4,000 taste buds. They help you enjoy your food along with your nose. The tongue is not the strongest muscle in the body. A lot of people think that the muscle in your mouth, the tongue, is the strongest, but it is not. Your tongue can get fat. How gross is that, right? You walk around one day and it's enormous in your mouth. It's just, that's nasty. How do you work out your tongue? Get Pilates for your tongue or something, right? All right, last thing. And your tongue, much like your fingerprints, can you make sure that I'm not outside, by the way? I don't want to disrupt anybody. Your fingerprints are unique to you. No one else has your fingerprint. God is awesome in how he designed us. But your fingerprint is yours. Your tongue also, there's nothing else like it, all right? So if you could ever look in the mirror and go, ah, that's your tongue. Nobody else has it, okay? It's kind of weird. So the tongue, there's lots we know about it. You can go grab a dictionary, you can go grab an encyclopedia, you go to the internet and put it, Google it in and search it. A lot of things to say about the tongue, many uses for it, the good things that it does for us, how it protects us, how it helps us. But there's another book, the Bible, that says a lot about the tongue. And there's specifically one book that says a lot about it. I'm just going to read several of these verses. Follow along as I do. Look what the book of Proverbs says about the tongue. You don't have to turn there. They'll be up here on the screen, okay? Look what it says. It says, Proverbs 10, verse 8, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." And we're going to understand here what most of the times when the word fool is associated with someone, it's someone who has a lack of control, specifically with their mouth. The book of Proverbs talks about the wise young man, the wise young person who knows how to have control over their mouth. Let's keep going. Verse 11, "The mouth of the righteous man is the well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Verse 21, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." 11:9, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." With your mouth being a hypocrite, when someone sees one thing and hears another, that destroys people. It can destroy your friendships. Keep going. Verse 18. There is that that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You can use it to pierce people, or you can use it to heal people. Chapter 13, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." This is a fascinating verse. "But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Someone who is wise with their words, slow to speak, is someone who is not soon to be destroyed. Chapter 16, verse 27, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire." We'll talk about this in James 3 in just a bit. Chapter 18, verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul." One last one, 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." You have a choice, and we'll talk about how to make that choice, between using your ability to talk and to communicate. The tongue can be used for good or evil. And right now, in your own heart, you know which one you use it more for. You know that when you come in contact with certain people, that's how you're going to use it. Turn to, if you're not there already, Book of James chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible, share, but I'll have the verses up on the screen as well. We're going to study here. We're just going to basically walk through the first 12 verses of James chapter 3. James is a very practical book. How many of you have read the Book of James before? Anybody in here? Okay, a couple of you. It is one of the more practical books in the Bible. If you're looking for just advice on life, how to just do what's right, James is so practical. Sometimes in Scripture, if you haven't studied it and don't know how to study it, things can be a little confusing. And some of you are just looking for A, B, C, D, tell me what to do. And the book of James is going to tell us exactly how to bring our tongue, bring our lips, our mouth, the things that so often get away from us, to bring it under captivity and under control. Look at James chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. It says this, "Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Okay, look at verse 1 there. The very first, well, it says this, "My brethren, be not many masters." He's basically addressing these people, and he's saying, okay, some of you have a desire to teach. This word for master back then is this word for rabbi. A rabbi was someone who would teach people. People would follow him. Jesus was referred to as rabbi. Yeah, people followed him and learned from him. And what James is admonishing is saying, okay, if you want to teach, if you want to guide people with your mouth and your lips, you want to show them by what you tell them, realize this. You have a great condemnation upon your head if you don't use it right. You will be held highly accountable for what you say with your mouth. Do you realize that? Do you realize that everything you do is recorded? You're like, what? Someone got in my room, put a GoPro in there, and they're watching everything? No. The God of heaven, who sees all, knows all, hears all, has a record. He knows exactly what you've done. And many times in Scripture, specifically the book of Revelation, tells us that we will be held accountable for what we say, whether good or evil. We will be held accountable. And James is saying here, he's saying to these people who want to be able to teach, maybe one day grow old and tell people about Christ or just talk in general, he says, if you do that, if you begin to just talk like this guy's doing right now, guess what? You will be held greatly accountable. In a great way, what you say will have weight. You'll stand before God and he will judge you based on what you say. So what you say with your mouth, guess what? It really does matter. That little white lie or that little small piercing phrase that you said about that person, guess what? It actually does matter. Every single bit of it does matter. And in fact, James says, in order to be a person who will one day be held accountable and will do well before God, will not feel ashamed and judged completely and receive great condemnation, he says there's two things that you should be doing. He says, this man is a perfect man. Okay, this word perfect has this basic idea of being complete or whole, without blemish. Someone who is of high integrity. Tell me someone in your life right now, someone who you think, I don't think this person's ever told a lie. Anybody? You know anybody like that? Who? Obviously, everybody's told a lie. But like in my life, I don't think my mom's ever told a lie, all right? If she says something, she says it. It is what it is. She's not going to coat it over. She tells you how it is, and she's not going to lie. I've lied many times. A person with integrity is someone who is able to do what's right because they know what's right based on Scripture. A perfect man is someone that is complete and without blemish. And this is so interesting, someone who's able to restrain their whole body. We're going to talk about this in just a bit, how the tongue, this little tiny member, controls, has reign over your whole body at times. This also can be referencing the body of Christ. There's a couple different ways to look at this, but he's basically saying, if you are seeking to not be under the great condemnation of God, be a young person who is wholesome, who's without blemish when they use their words. He also has this idea of bridling. We're going to talk about this. This idea of being under control, self-control. There's a little book that I love. Oh, it's so much fun. It says, it's about this wide. It's really small. Some of you have already read it before. It's called Your Reactions Are Showing. And it basically spells out this. It says, some of us are controlled by other people on a daily basis. Some of us allow other people and what they say to us to cause us to react to them. You see, we don't act on a daily basis. Most of the time, we react. If this young man came up to me and just punched me in the face, and I just turned right around and whoop, punched him right back in the face, guess who controls me? This guy right here. My reaction is completely based on this guy's set of actions. Instead of choosing to act as opposed to his action and giving him a handshake and a $100 bill and sending him away in a nice Lexus, okay? Instead of treating him really nicely, I said, you control me. And James is saying, nope, when it comes to your tongue, be under control. Nothing else should control you. No one else should dictate what you say. You should be, look here, self-controlled. Most people, when they talk about self-control, they talk about eating. Or they talk about spending too much money. How often do we talk about self-control when it comes to our mouth? When it comes to what we say? Do you give it a second thought when you show up to school, or when you walk back in your house, or when your group of friends, and your mouth just goes, la, 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 you just talk 1,000 miles a minute. You don't really think about what you're saying. You have, listen, zero self-control. Guess what? You will be held accountable for all of that. Got to move along here, okay? Let's look here real quick. It says the tongue is a small and very powerful at the same time, used for both good and evil. Follow along as I read. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth, is able to do great things. How many of you have ever been on a horse before? Been on a horse before? Have you ever actually rode a horse, like moved the horse back and forth? Okay, cool. If you ever noticed, and it's just disgusting, so don't ever touch it, okay? But in the mouth of a horse is this metal bar that goes across and some bits that attach to it, and they go all the way back behind the horse's mouth, and they're attached to those leather straps that you have. And inside of it, it's extremely painful for the horse. They develop calluses over time, and they have to be moved. But what happens is when you pull the rein on the right side, guess what happens? It digs into the side of the mouth of the horse, this little tiny piece, and guess which way the horse goes? Just that way. Sometimes the horse goes, and just runs off, all right? But most of the times, you pull the right side, and they have trained, they know, I'm going to go this way. If you pull both, they're going to stop. That little tiny thing can stop a couple hundred pound horse in its tracks. It can make it turn on a dime. You ever watch the Olympics and the cool stuff they do with horses? Like, you know, it's just really cool how they prance all over the place, and all the person on top has to go is just barely pull it, and the horse goes, it turns it. The little tiny piece in their mouth, it's called a bit. James says that little tiny piece in the horse's mouth is so powerful, guess what? It causes the horse to go, to turn on a dime. How many of you have been on a giant ship? Anybody been in like on a cruise ship before? Okay, they're made a little bit different today, but they still all have some sort of helm or some sort of rudder, as we'd call it. I was on a sailboat once, and sailboats are guided by a couple different things. They have a rudder in the back, but they also have these giant wind sails, these giant parachute-looking things. But in the back, basically, if you stand there, or a little tiny motorboat, you know, your dad has one to go fishing in, and all you have to do is hold on back here, and if you want to go a certain direction, all you do is move it just a slight little bit. And guess what? You move it, the boat turns. Move it back, the boat turns. And the little tiny thing that is just really thin in the water, you move it, and it moves the entire boat. Have you ever seen drawings or maybe pictures of the ship, the Titanic, before? Have you ever seen those before? Okay. The rudders on those humongous ships are enormous. They're bigger than my entire body, okay? They're just big. But the ship is so much bigger than the rudder. Proportionally, it's like this big as we look at it. But guess what that little tiny rudder could do? Not fast enough, evidently. But it can move an entire ship being this small. And James says, even so, the tongue is a little tiny member, and it can do great things. You see, as small as this is, it is as powerful as it gets. The tongue can be used for both evil and for good, and yet most of the times, it's used, unfortunately, for anger. And for things that we should not be using it for. Have anybody watched the NBA playoffs? You're like, no, I've been at camp, duh. Okay, last night the Golden State Warriors won. Yes, because I can't stand LeBron, but that's all. And they won the championship. But in game four, okay, just a few nights ago, Friday night, game four, this is from this game. These guys are bickering and arguing with each other. Like someone stole the candy from each other. Like they're just like, how dare you? And I can't believe you. You trip me, I'll trip you. And I'll slap you, you slap me. Or they're just like going back and forth. These grown men will be arguing. You ever gone on YouTube before and you just typed in the word fight? You ever seen people just use their tongue and hurt people with it? Let's get a little more real. How about you? Your group of friends. You ever get in a circle? Just kind of like have a shout off? For one thing, you try to up each other, say one thing that's nasty and mean, or you all gang up on one person and just tear them to bits, tear them all the way down to the ground, make them worth absolutely nothing. You see this thing right here? It's small, but it is unbelievably powerful. It can do a ton of damage. And if you don't have it under control, you're going to hurt people. You're going to allow the power that it has to be used for evil. There's great peer pressure to talk like everyone else talks. It's the cool thing to do. A quick tongue will get the best laughs. You get to be the center of attention if you're the Mr. Talk-a-Lot, if you're the quick-witted guy. You always are wanted to take the conversation just a little bit farther, make it just a little bit nastier, just a little bit more perverse. Of course, that's what's funny. That's what's cool. But listen carefully. A mature young person who is a believer, a Christian, a follower of Christ, will not fall prey to those pressures. You will stand up. The sign of a mature Christian is that they have their tongue under control. They know how to use it for good and now how to suppress it and not use it and its power for evil. Look now at James chapter 3, verse 7. We're going to keep moving here. We got a little bit of time left. James chapter 3, verse 7. Keep reading. Follow along. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You're like, ho, ho, time out, Sean. You just said I need to have my tongue under control. You just said that I need to have my tongue under wraps. You told me to have a self-restraint with my tongue. Now you're telling me no one can tame it? You're telling me that no one is able to have it under control? We'll get to that in just a second. I'm telling you this, and you'll find out soon enough, that your tongue is just a byproduct. What do I mean by that? It's only, and we'll have to see some verses in Matthew and Luke and a couple other places, your tongue is only like the puppet that is controlled by something else, and that is your heart. You see, the tongue is so powerful. Man has conquered beasts and animals and everything around it. Those things have come into submission. They have come into obedience. All right, I have a dog. She's 9 months old. Her name is Toffee. Okay, she's a chocolate labradoodle. She's awesome. She's crazy, but she's awesome. We had to buy a shock collar for her because she would just run everywhere because she has a little bit of Cocker Spaniel in her. And that little bit of Cocker Spaniel is the devil in her, okay? How many of you own a Cocker Spaniel? Anybody? They're pretty, long ears, but they are terrible, okay? Toffee had to be brought under control and be taught because guess what else we have in our house? We have a 9-week-old baby. And if Toffee just thought it was okay to run all over the house and jump up on everything she wanted to jump up on top of, my wife would flip out and probably kill the dog because there's a 9-week-old baby. Guess what Toffee had to be done with Toffee, to be taught. Toffee, come over here. You jump up on here, you're going to get zapped. It's that pretty simple, okay? And we have this little dial. We start on 0, work all the way up, and it can go at 100, but we never go past 20 or 25. And we say, Toffee, jump up there, and we give her a buzz. Just kind of like a little, it vibrates. This is a warning. And she's like, eh, okay, cool. Do it again. Jumps up there, and then we actually shock her. Okay, I won't do it again, right? And she knows better. We've brought her into submission. We've tamed her down some. Not all of it yet. She's still a puppy. She's still going to have fun. But there are certain things that we have to bring into submission. And James is saying, many animals, many things in nature have been brought into submission by man, God's greatest piece of creation. But look here. This, the tongue, no man has perfected it. Does that mean we give up hope? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. Does that mean we just say, I'll never do it right. It's just too powerful. I can't control it. Whatever. No. You see, for every time that we see in Scripture that the tongue is powerful and it can be used for evil, there are so many other passages that say the tongue and the mouth can be used for good and encouragement, and virtue, and praise. And yet we decide most of the time to say, it's too hard to control. It's too much for me. I can't tame it. Then there's the tongue that does this, the tongue that's double-minded. The verse, end of verse 10, it says, therewith it blesses God, we bless the Father, and then right after, look what it says, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be so. Look here. Look right here. If you're the kind of young person who can say one thing to one person and tear this group of people down and gossip behind their backs about these people and say these words and curse and then turn right around and be a saint and bless God, James says, that's not normal. That's not right. It shouldn't be so. You see, when you have your tongue under control, when you have a grasp and you have an understanding based on God's word of how to bring it into submission, you will only do one or the other because you will be a perfect man, a man who has learned how to bridle, bring under control his tongue. But until you do so, guess what you're going to do? You're going to act one way at church. One group of friends, you're going to act one this way. Around your parents, you're like this. Around your family, you're like this. Around these people, you're like this. You will go between one or the other. And James says, it doesn't work that way. So how do we bring it under control? We've seen it pretty drastically. We've seen the tongue is desperately wicked. It has complete control of you most of the times. How do you, sit up straight and tall, everybody look right here, no sleeping, awesome. How do you walk out of these doors and have a better idea or at least a better knowledge of how to bring this under submission? Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 4. You don't have to turn there, I'll have it on the screen here. Ephesians 4, verse 29, says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good of the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. First thing he says there, and actually I have these backwards, so I'll do this first. He says, no corrupt communication, no gossip, no sarcasm, no critical speech, no harsh words. When he says no, the word no literally means zero. It's non-existent. No corrupt communication is coming out of your mouth because it's not even possible to. And we'll talk about why in just a second. You will have the ability to not be sarcastic. Can you look right up here? You see this guy? You see Sean? Sean, some of you, you're like me. One of your natural born gifts is sarcasm. How many would say, yeah, I'm a pretty sarcastic person? And sometimes, like this guy right here, guess what we do? We excuse sarcasm as, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Or, oh, they're such a baby. They've got thin skin. Oh, they'll get over it. Oh, it's not that bad. You know what sarcasm most of the time is? Just a bunch of truth in a funny, silly way. You mean what you say. You tear people down with how critical you are of them. You're harsh with, some of you, you look saintly right now. But if I could videotape how you interact with mom and dad or mom and siblings with each other or friends that you don't like, you tear people apart with your words. You just rip them to shreds. You have no respect. Your corrupt communication is terrible. And then there's the top one. There's gossip. This one. This one is, oh, it's everywhere. Did you see her dress? Oh my. Did you see her hair? Did you see his shoes? Did you know what he said about her? Do you know what he said about him? It's just constant. You guys are behind each other's backs, and we use our tongues to tear people apart who can't even hear, who have no opportunity to defend themselves. And instead of being part of the solution of the problem, all we do is make more and more and more problems. you're a young person who doesn't know how to bring their tongue under control, you're going to have corrupt communication coming out. You're going to gossip. No question about it. You're going to be sarcastic. You're going to be critical of everything that everybody does around you, and you're just going to be nasty. Your words are going to be harsh, and they're going to hurt. But he says then, there's another thing to do. He says we can use it actually for good. We can use it to build other people up. This word actually means this. Watch. You actually are building something, as opposed to using it for corrupt communication, which is tearing something apart. Do you understand here how simple this is? You either use it for good or evil. You either build somebody up or you completely level them to the ground and make them worth nothing around everybody else. You use it for good, to edify, to encourage people. Don't answer this out loud, but when was the last time you used your tongue, your words, to build someone else up around you, to encourage someone else? I'm not just saying, oh, hey, high five, good job. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? You are awesome. You're doing a great job. You're honoring the Lord with what you're doing. Let me help you. Hey, you know what? Let me edify you in another way. Let me encourage you in this way. Instead of tearing people down. You see, some of you like, you know what? They did wrong. I need to tell them what's right and wrong, and I just need to get on to them. There is a right and way to do that as well. You can edify someone and tell them and show them what's wrong in their life and yet build them up instead of tearing them down. And then lastly, it says this idea of giving grace to the hearers. And this idea of grace is not referring to God's grace. It literally means just kindness to each other. You're giving kindness. You're giving compassion, unmerited love and favor to each other. When you have it under control, you will be a young person who builds other people up, does not tear them down. You will be a young person who encourages and is kind and is loving with your words. Let's jump to the last slide here. How then do you bring this under control? You see, if I could attach a string from your tongue all the way down to your heart, every time your tongue talked, it was your heart pulling the strings. You ever seen a puppet? Those strings, and people do like a little weird stuff. You ever seen that before? Where they got them on the strings and the guy's, you know, doing all the weird, and they clap like this, and it's just weird. And you look up above and there's a man or two people just doing the dancing moves, and they're all, you know, weird little puppets on the stage. That's basically what it is. When your mouth says something, it's your heart. It's what's in your heart already. It's what's inside of your mind and what you've been dwelling on and what you've decided to feed your heart. Look here. That's what's pulling the strings. That's what's saying, do this, say that. Ooh, don't be kind here. Harsh word here. Sarcasm here. Hurtful word here. If you want to bring your tongue under complete control, you know where it starts? It doesn't start by saying, I'm not going to say anything bad anymore. It might, but that's about as far as it's going to go. It actually is much deeper than that. It's what you feed your heart. It's what you put on the inside. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 12 says. Look what it says. For out of the abundance, out of the overflow. Have you ever seen a fountain or a cup when you're like at lunch today? Someone poured the Kool-Aid too much and it, like, there's not a bottomless pit. It actually just blood bubbles all over the table. It has this idea of your abundance means just overflowing. The overflowing of your heart is when your mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Look at the last one in Psalm. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that's the inner man, that's the inner thing, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, your words and your heart, they're like this. They're tied together. It's not one without the other. So when you, look here, catch this. When you say something mean, when you're unkind with your lips, And when you tear someone down, when you lie, that just means your heart is about as nasty and about as dirty as what your mouth is saying. You see, because it comes right out of it. It's already inside of you. We normally use this illustration for anger or something like that, but it's the same idea. You ever put tea bag inside of hot water? What comes out of the tea? Tea bag. What comes out? Tea, all right? The coloring comes out. The water doesn't put it inside the tea bag. It actually causes what's in the tea bag to come out. And some of you, when you're put in pressure situations, when you're put in places where there's peer pressure, or when your friends or your mom or your siblings, what's inside of you just comes out. And you have no control. Because you have placed things in your heart. You have fed your heart things that just are overflowing and out of your mouth. So can I tell you something this morning? If you don't have control of your tongue, you don't have control of your heart. If this is completely out of control, says whatever it wants, however it wants, you have zero ability. You have zero say of what goes inside your heart. Some of you, your influences are terrible on you. What you listen to and what you watch feeds your heart. When you accidentally just, something spills out of your mouth, guess what? It's not an accident. When you accidentally just, you say something bad or you curse at somebody like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Guess what? Yeah, you did. Because it's on the inside already. If you don't take care of your heart, if you don't constantly clean and transform your heart by the truth of God's word, guess what's going to come out of here? What's already inside of here. You want to know why it's so hard to tame the tongue? Because none of us are really good at taming what goes in our heart and placing our heart under control, placing our inner man under control. Here's my last question for you. Simple. Is your heart / your tongue under control? You see, no one, not a single one of us in here is exempt from this. I'm not. Your sponsors aren't. Your counselors aren't. You aren't. Every single one of us has a responsibility of owning our heart and our tongue. It doesn't matter how people treat you. It doesn't matter how harsh and unkind and how much they gossip about you. It matters what you put in your heart. David, we read it, Book of Psalms, very end. He says, let what I meditate on and let what I say please you always. Can you honestly say that? Look here. Can you say that what's going in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth is pleasing to God? If not, then you don't have control. You're out of control. So my encouragement to you this afternoon is this. Be cleansed. Be transformed by God's word. And be under control. Use your tongue to edify, to build up, and to give grace to everybody around you.